First, grieve that you will never be that mug that was before it broke. You will never be that person. And it's okay to say goodbye and understand that you're going to be a lot better, but you won't be that that you were.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Women Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Alara Sage, the Ecstatic Life Mentor. And today we're here to talk about the healing process, the transformation process. What happens to us when we go through trauma, when we go through challenges in life? The whole process of healing and transforming into a new version of ourselves. Do we give ourselves all of the spaciousness, all of the time that we need to integrate, to heal? Do we grieve ourselves? We often think of grieving as grieving for loved ones who have passed, grieving for pets, but do we think of grieving ourselves on our own journey and the power and impact that that has for us in letting go and moving forward? And to help us with this conversation, to take us deep and to enlighten us, we have our guest today, Miriam Grunhaus. Miriam is the innovator behind Mika Fashion, a brand that brings the Japanese art of kintsugi, which is accepting of our imperfections, brings this beautiful art into clothing. I mean, what a tremendous, beautiful, beautiful message and symbol. I'm so deeply honored to have you here, Miriam. And Miriam also is a speaker. She does workshops and she just loves to empower women to heal from the inside, so that they can find a joyous life. Miriam, welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. To talk about this subject, such a treat, and to do that with you is even more exciting. Thank you.
Yes, I know I told you this when we first connected, but I just love the symbolism behind the kintsugi and your brand. And I'm just so delighted today to get into this topic. So when you and I were first connecting, we were talking about kintsugi. And so for the audience, we'll first start there. What is kintsugi?
Kintsugi is the Japanese art of mending pottery. So in Japan, when pottery breaks, they don't throw out, they put it back together. They do it in a very specific process with very specific products. They don't use glue. They use urushi, which comes from a tree. And it's actually kind of toxic. And it's hard for them to collect the urushi from the trees. But that's an integral part of the process. It is a slow process. And at the end, when done, they decorate the cracks with gold, making the piece unique, expensive, and a lot stronger. That is such an exciting part of the messages of kintsugi, because when the same pottery falls and breaks again, let's say you fixed it kintsugi and then it dropped, went to the ground, it breaks, it will not break in the same places that they were broken before. The ceramics will break again, but not where it was mended. Showing us that when we do the proper work and we follow the right steps, we grow as individuals, we become stronger and more resilient for the future, for future things that life will bring. And the message of kintsugi, besides that we can fix, that we are fixable, that we are mendable, is that we shouldn't be ashamed of whatever happened to us. We shouldn't be ashamed of our scars. we should want to show them, just like in the art you decorated with gold, you don't try to make it like they didn't exist, right? There are people that fix pottery in a way that you don't see where it had been broken, which in itself is an art too. But here, the message is embrace everything that happened to you. Don't feel shame. Don't, embrace your vulnerability and let the world see that you mended, that you did the work. And usually, whatever broke us, it is really our purpose. It is really what we're here to do. So we should gloat. We should show. We should tell the world, look, I went through that, but look at me now. I put my pieces back together and I have something to teach. I have a way to inspire. And I wanted, with the fashion, I wanted people to wear it. I think just like with a smile, you start your day, you don't feel so great. Maybe you're a little blue, but if you start putting a smile on your face and you make an effort, your day can completely turn around. And I wanted to create something that when people put it on, even if they don't feel so resilient, they will be empowered to learn about resilience. They will be empowered to own whatever broke them and go stronger, to life, through life. And also be an inspiration. I want people to know that when they talk about whatever happened to them, when they publicize it, when they speak about it, when they share, they are inspiring other people to go through their own journeys of mending whatever broke them.
It reminds me of the warrior because, warriors have cuts and scars, and usually they wear them with honor because it has shown that they have been through battle and that, yes, they were cut, they were sliced open, they were injured. However, they mended and they're back in it. And I imagine if a warrior was, mended with gold, and how different that would be.
Yeah.
When you and I were...
Alara, do you mind if I interrupt you for a second? Because you said something that, wow. I was hypnotized for therapeutic purposes. I did a session of hypnotherapy. And the very end of that session, I was brought back before the womb. I was brought back. I don't know if you're familiar with hypnotherapy and that you can go really back. And at some point I was in this field and I see horses coming with warriors. So you mentioned the word warriors. I was smiling. So I see this people on horses coming towards me. I was not afraid. And there were tons of horses and tons of warriors wearing those, those metal, like once upon a time, like in medieval times, right? Those armors of metal. When they came close to me, they all dismounted from the horse. And they took off their armors and they were all women and they were all kintsugi, meaning their bodies were split and there was a light coming through their body. So when they took the armor, they were really energy and light came through them and they were all women. And it was at that moment that I understood that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. It was such an intense connection with kintsugi, but it was such a vivid image. I really felt that I was there. And when you started talking about warrior, and I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you, because that vision that I had in being there, it was so true, because we are warriors. We're put on this planet and we're we're warriors. I mean, just to some people have to go through a lot just to get out of bed and do whatever they need to do. They face a lot of struggle. And what does that mean? Why do we come to this world to go through so much, right? We are warriors and we are all broken. But what we do with this brokenness, and I always say the mending is not, we're keeping it open. The mending is just to know how to let that gold that's inside of us shine through. You need that space. You need that, you know, that disintegration in order to reintegrate. We need to break apart in order to learn how to put ourselves back together in the way that we're meant to be. And we're always evolving. We're always growing, right? But you said that, and I was put back there. You just took me there, back to that place, to that vision that is so meaningful to me. So thank you.
Wow. I'm so glad you interrupted. That also changed my perspective of it, because I was seeing it as mending with gold, which it is. But it, when you just spoke about the warriors, warrioresses, I guess we could call them.
Yes.
It's the gold is the symbolism of the light shining through the cracks. And that is a very different image. And I really, really love that, because I've had that image for myself in various different contexts as well. So as you were talking and telling me that story, particularly when you got to the armor and they took off the armor, oh, I had just so much bliss hit going through my body. I was like, wow. So you and I definitely connected on some stream of consciousness there for sure.
Yes. For sure.
And I love how you're saying, yes, that we need to sometimes break in order to see how we're really coming together and the mending, you know, into truth, the mending into alignment. When you and I first talked, I know that you were talking about the beginning process being so important, how sometimes we kind of can scoot past the beginning process of healing. Like when we first break, right? And you were, I'll let you really go into it, but you were showing me and helping me to understand how that very intricate self-reflection is important in Kintsugi. Can you speak to a little bit about that?
Yes. It's very interesting because a lot of people want to jump to the healing, right? They want to jump to the active mending. We are all about action, and I am a huge proponent on taking action. But we need to first self-reflect, and the art of Kintsugi really teaches us about it, because the whole process, when the pottery falls and breaks, the first thing you need to do is find the pieces, right? Imagine you throw a mug, a ceramics mug, on the floor. Pieces are going to go all over the place. You need to go and gather. And then if you want to heal, if you want to mend this broken mug, you have to figure out the puzzle, where each piece goes. So the entire beginning process is one of reflection, is one of understanding us, is understanding what we were, is understanding how we're going to put this piece back, the pieces back together. Maybe some pieces we won't even find. Maybe some broke so small that they turn into sand and you can't collect that. And you can't put that back together. Now what? The whole beginning part is self-reflection, planning for the future. It's an opportunity to revamp who we want to be, to live who we want to, how we want to live, and be that person that we're meant to be. But there is a lot of preliminary work
that needs to go into this effort before we say, okay, so what's the solution? What am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? Which type of treatment that I'm going to take? Before you can't go there yet. There's a huge step in grief. And we talked in our conversation, first grieve that you will never be that mug that was before it broke. You will never be that person. And it's okay to say goodbye and understand that you're going to be a lot better, but you won't be that you were. And for that, we need respect. We need to say goodbye. We need to give it the proper grieving that it takes. Kintsugi is a slow process. To fix pottery can take, depending on how many breaks and how big the piece was and how intricate it was, it can take to a month to a year to fix the piece. And it's very interesting. I was determined to meet with a kintsugi master, that's how they're called, and I found a Japanese kintsugi master in New York. And I went to his website, and he was giving the course, and it was every Sunday for 6 weeks, I believe. But I live in Florida, and I couldn't be traveling six times. So I called him, and I said, can I come and spend a week with you and just go through the whole process? And he says, no, you can't, because there is a particular process, and it is supposed to take that long. It is supposed to cure, right? When you're putting the pieces back together and you're starting to mend, and it takes time for things to cure. And I smiled because he gave me such a lesson for myself, because I was in the process in that journey myself to find my own healing. And I wanted fast because I am an entrepreneur and I start companies and I'm a doer and I'm a go-getter. And I was looking at my healing in the exact same way as I build a company. Okay, we're going to make the logo. We're going to do this. We're going to incorporate. We're going to sell. We're going to blah, blah, blah. We're going to succeed. But when it comes to us, it's a different process, and we need something that is probably the one thing that the majority of us lack, which is patience. We need patience and grace towards ourselves. We're impatient with that process. But if we understand that the process is it, right? What is life if not the process of our own growth, of our own mending, or of our own adding the gold into our lives? That is the life. It is, there's nothing else. I mean, people always say, oh, when I will write the book, and when I'll teach, and when I'll speak, and when I'll win, when I'll build, and when I'll have my own home, or whatever it is. No, those are just pieces that happen to work throughout our lives, which is all about our own personal growth. It is all about our breaking and mending, breaking and mending, breaking and mending. And in the middle, good things happen. Bad thing, you know, like in the middle, you get married. In the middle, you buy a house. In the middle, you travel. But really, it's all about our personal journeys of growth, of learning, of experiencing, of becoming who we're supposed to become. And if we embrace that and we say, okay, I'm going into it with a little bit more patience, a little bit more grace, I'm going to give it the time, and I'm actually going to try to enjoy the process, because we can enjoy. It's not that the process is not hard. It's excruciating at times, but we can enjoy parts of it. We can enjoy what we discover about ourselves. We can enjoy that we can become more calmer, kinder, more giving, right? When we realize that we can improve, I mean, that's something that brings us tremendous joy.
even though at that time we're going through a very hard time. So it's figuring out, how do we find the joy within the adversity? How do we find the joy within the process of healing?
Yeah, I want to unpack some things in there. You said so many beautiful parts to that. You know, the first, the collecting of the pieces. Because when I work with clients, we're often, you know, it's called soul fragmentation, where there's parts of them that are in parallel realities, past lives, in, you know, still left in particular points of trauma. And we have to call those parts of them back into the space. And then it is really about this grieving of what happened and this this honoring of what happened, right, in that moment, so that the lessons can be integrated. And to the grieving, it is a transition, isn't it? Death in any form is a transition point. It is a pivot. It is a from the old into the new. It's, you know, it's a big transitionary point. And I just really hear you when you talk about the grieving, because there have been so many points in my life where I have literally felt like, wow, I am right now in this moment a completely different person. And when we pause there, which I haven't always done, I am very impatient and have had to learn patience as well. And look back at everything the previous you did and the previous you learned, right? That's the point of integration. So I really wanted to bring that forward in this conversation, you know, that grieving is an honoring of that transition point. And if we take it into the context of the ceramic, right? Like, let's say you have your favorite mug, you know, and you drop it and it breaks. I mean, if that was your favorite mug, there can be like a grieving process to, oh man, that was my favorite. Okay. Letting go what it was. And then how am I going to create something new? And what is that going to look like? And I love how you bring in the curing. Because for me, the creative process is so much about gestation and cultivation, is what I call it. And you cannot rush the creative process. It's going to do its thing. And you've got to let the cure. And it's so important, because if you miss that step and you try to rush it, did it really stick? Is it really strong? Is it really held? Is there something, I mean, I know that you were speaking to yourself around the impatience, and I really felt you with the master, because I would have done the same exact thing. Can we just get it done already? I got a lot to do.
Yeah, what a lesson.
Is there anything else that you've experienced, you know, with your fashion brand that goes back to this grieving and curing process? Do you have a story to share with us?
Yes, I have a story of a woman that reached out to me. It's her story. She sends me an Instagram message and she says, "You don't know me. I didn't buy one of your dresses through you. I bought it in a store, but I wanted to share this with you." And it was such an amazing lesson. She said, "I'm 27 years old. I had a double mastectomy and hysterectomy because I have the BRCA gene. And we lost too many of the women in our family. And I have already a couple of kids. And I decided that I wanted to be alive for them. And I'm healing. And I actually bought your dress before I knew the story, because of the comfort, how I make my fabric, the skin sensitivities." And then she said, "When the dress arrived, I read your tag. And in my tag, I explained about Kintsugi." And she said, "For the first time since I had the surgery, I can look at myself and not to feel disgusted with my body full of scars. I was able to see the beauty and to see the gold, right, in her for what she did, for the decision that she made and what it meant, and see beyond the physical scars, but what the scars meant. And she said, I want you to know that I wake up every morning and the first thing I do is read the tag of the dress, and I just wanted you to know how it saved my life. And I was thinking about what she said a lot. I think about her message often, especially when I want to leave this business. I go back into some of the messages that I get from people. I would never leave Kintsugi, but the fashion side. And I think that we need to give permission to ourselves to see something different than we perceived that we were going to be, right? She was a woman and she saw her breasts and she understood her body as a woman one way. And then at a very early age, she wasn't 30, she felt like she lost her womanhood, right? But she needed to give herself permission to see the woman's body and her body and her story from a different perspective. And I think that Kintsugi is that it teaches us to see things from different perspectives. And it teaches us that if we use perspectives in general in our lives, we're going to have a much easier time to go through life. Because when we have discord with people, when we have issues in business, you can always look at things from a different angle and suddenly analyze the situation in a different way completely and resolve the problems because you're able to see it from a different perspective. I think that the fashion, by allowing women to embody it, wear it, I'm wearing one of my shirts. when we put it, we are empowering ourselves. And I wanted to create something. Not everybody's going to go get a coach, and definitely not everybody's going to come to me. I coach with Kintsugi in mind, but right, not everybody's going to get that opportunity. But I wanted to give more women the opportunity to embody what Kintsugi is, learn about the methodology, and then do the work to become it. When I first saw a video and I learned for the first time what Kintsugi was, when I finished that video, my reaction was, I want to become Kintsugi. It was a video about pottery. But when I saw it, my reaction was, I want to become that. That's what I want to look like. That's who I want to be. So how am I going to do that? How am I going to achieve it? And you mentioned grieving. I think that we don't learn how to grieve. We really don't. And most of the time when we talk about grieving, immediately a person thinks about death. But in reality, we grieve a million times more about other things than death, right? Death, it happens. Some people have more family members or people that they know that die. Some people have less. But we lose other things a lot more often than we lose people. If it is something that broke and meant a lot to you, if it is a job you lost, if it is a person that is no longer in your life, it could be a divorce, it could be family estrangement, it could be a family member with Alzheimer's and they're there, but they're not really there and you don't have that contact. There's so many ways, losing of finances, losing a business, losing a ring that meant a lot to us. I mean, we lose so much. And when do we learn to grieve? And I remember when I started learning about grieving, I said to myself, you know, let's talk divorce. I'm not divorced, so I don't have that experience, but I was trying to imagine somebody divorces, they lost their spouse, but they didn't just lose their spouse. they lost that companionship. They lost the person who goes to parents' teachers' meeting. They lost when you're going to walk your child down the aisle to go to be with the person who's really your partner. You lost the person who changes the bulbs or takes out the garbage, like the help and the assistance. You lose so much. There's so many layers of loss. But we're always focused, okay, so I got divorced and I'm grieving my divorce. I'm grieving my marriage that didn't work out. But there's a million things on the day-to-day that hits us with such power and strength. And sometimes we don't even realize, why did that come back? Like, I thought I did the work. You know, I thought that I got divorced 5 years ago. Why now am I? Well, did you grieve the loneliness? Did you grieve the quiet in the house? Did you grieve, you know, not having that person to share how your work was or whatever, you know, share anything with? So I think that we just don't understand that grieving is such a multi-layered process and that it never goes away. You don't fix grieving. You modify how you grieve. You replace the sadness with other reasons for joy. But you don't get over the loss. You go on with it. And it becomes part of you. And it is part of those scars that you take on with you. And we put a lot of pressure on people to get over whatever, oh, get over this. You know, you were set enough time, get over it. But how do you get over? We're not taught how to overcome it. And we're not supposed to get over it. It becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of our history. It's important. It's important that we don't get over. But it's equally important that we manage to figure out how to replace mostly sadness with mostly joy. But always leave room to cry, leave room to sit in it. It's important. Everything that we go through in our life, it's too important for us to not give it the value and the time and the devotion that it needs. But with that, we need to figure out how to do it so it doesn't consume us and that we can use it for good. Anything that we lose, anything that we are grieving today, it is part of the purpose that we have in this world. It is part of what we're going to use to help others heal and mend their lives. Because we're here, we're all connected, we're all interconnected, and we're helping. Somebody's going to watch this video and something is being said. Is going to hit them in the right place, that it's going to empower them to move forward. And then they will become that ripple that is going to go and empower somebody else with the lessons that they learned from their experience and the words of wisdom that they heard from others. And this word of wisdom, which is the goal, by the way, right? We become bigger, wiser from what? From our experiences, from our breaks. If we devote the time to put it back together, that's how we become wiser. And we're just exchanging. We are transferring everything that we learn, we transfer to somebody else, and then it comes back to us some other way.
Yes. And I went through a divorce. And I can absolutely speak to the layers of grief. You know, you're grieving your marriage, you're grieving your relationship, but you're grieving that partner, you're grieving that parent, because that is a parent of, if you have children, I did and do, that parent and that part of parenting, right? That person that is another half of your side of parenting. And, you know, my ex-husband, he was my financial advisor. And, you know, and we had different aspects of self that we brought to the relationship, right? Different qualities in each of us that we brought to the relationship. And we lost those parts. You know, I had to grieve my home. I had to grieve my friends. I had to grieve the part of his family that I lost. So there was so many, and it just kept coming forward. You know, I would grieve one aspect and the next would come, and just that process of allowing the full process to move through. And it is, in my opinion, the only way to really allow ourselves to absolutely transform through a circumstance like that, is that availability to the grief, to give yourself that time, give yourself that spaciousness, give yourself the compassion, right, to grieve, have compassion for yourself, for the grieving process, absolutely. And I wanted to speak to the changing of the perspective and how Kintsugi does that, because I keep getting this image. And before I share the image, I just want to say, you know, there's never one person's journey that is better than the next, no matter what, right? We are all on our unique journey that is for us specifically, and as Miriam so wonderfully put, and is also to share. However, and I get this image of, like, sometimes people think, oh, I have had more trauma or I've had more challenge than the other. But if you look at it through the lens of Kintsugi, that would suggest that they then have more strands of gold, right? More light shining through, which I just wanted to kind of bring.
Yeah,
if they've done the work, yes. So if, you know, if you're a listener and you're thinking, oh man, have I not gone through trauma and grieving and all these processes, then you can think of this pottery that you are that has, you know, more of your own light shining through. And I think that's a really beautiful way to see your process if you have particularly felt like you have had a challenging life. I feel really drawn, Miriam, and I don't know if you could answer this question, but I feel really drawn to ask you, you mentioned with the curing that it is from a tree. And to me, there's something really powerful there. To me, it feels like a representation of the body. Do you have any information about it coming from a tree, and is there any symbolism behind that?
I believe that there is a lot of symbolism. Urushi is a very toxic in a way. When you touch it, you really can hurt yourself. Like, you should wear gloves. It's not something so easy to work with. It's really hard to gather from the tree. But it's very interesting because, one, it's hard to get. So it shows that all the power, the strength that's within us to do the work is hard. It's hard work. It's hard to get the urushi. It's hard to get from ourselves what we need to do the work. It could be toxic, right? It's an allergenic product, that type of glue. And sometimes things about us that we need to discover, we're scared of. We are afraid of certain realities that could be good things for us, but we're afraid of them. We're afraid to discover. But we need to have the courage, just like we have to have the courage and figure out how to work around the fact that it is an allergenic product. We also have to have the courage and figure out how to use our inner strength. Tree to me, it is. I have a painting that I did. It was one of my first paintings I was 20, so I was a young adult. But it was a tree trunk, and in the tree trunk, the way I painted the tree, there is a woman there. You can see a woman in the tree. I think that we are that base, that strength, that powerful thing that grounds us. It's within us. It's within us. We have it. You know, there is a saying that God preempted all the sicknesses and illnesses and gave us the medicine before he gave us the diseases. So everything exists and it's in this world here already for us to use and heal. So I think that that is a great way to see the symbolism of that. And you started asking about perspectives. And I think that is an agreement that we need to do with ourselves to try to see things from different points of view. And because we see it very narrow, we see from the way that we're comfortable seeing, the way we always see it. It's the way we were raised. It's the way that we were told about things. But if we decide, if we say, I'm making a conscious decision to see things from a different perspective, and you can tell stories. And in the beginning, you tell stories. Somebody can think that it's a lie, but it's not a lie. You're just teaching yourself how to see things from a different perspective. So for example, I used to be really upset when on the road, somebody cut me off. And I used to say like, if you want to commit suicide, you know, go jump from a building. Don't come here and put my life in danger. You know, I'm good with whatever you want to do, but just don't. And it wasn't a nice thing, right? And I said, how can I overcome this anger that I feel when people cut me off? And I said, well, what if the person who cut me off needs to go to the hospital because their wife is in labor? Maybe they hurt themselves. Maybe they got a phone call that their daughter is sick and they're running to the hospital. In that regard, I'm going to send them a blessing. I went from being angry to sending them a blessing and loving them with all my heart and wishing all the best for them. It was like a little small change of perspective in the whole situation. And if we go through our whole lives like that, this is the first story that I hear. How can I change the story to make my life, my journey better? At the end of the day, if I'm blessing somebody else, the quality of my day was much superior than if I'm cursing that person. So who do I want to be? Which kind of a person do I want to be? I want to be the blessing person. I don't want to be the cursing person. I don't want to be the person that gets upset. Do I have a choice? Yeah, I'm full of energy. I could have a temper, but I am also strong and I can control it. And I just need to learn how and gain the tools and then practice a lot. Practice a lot. And you talked about the curing. You know, when you put the rushi, you cannot touch the piece for a long time until it dries. It doesn't dry fast. That is because every new habit that we take on, any new thing that we decide to do, we need to do a lot of it for it to become part of who we are, the fiber of our being. It doesn't become like that if you do 3 times, 5 times, 10 times. You have to do 100 times. You know, to be in flow, just like when you drive home and you drive always the same way, you're not paying attention to the road. Sometimes you get there and you're like, oh my God, did I turn? Did I stop at the red light? I don't even remember stopping because you were in flow, right? You were just so in that moment. And we need to learn to add good things to our life so they become that we intuitively just do it because they are part of who we are. Yeah. 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 I just wanted to say something else because you said something very interesting. And I actually talk about that in my book. You mentioned about we always feel that our problem is the worst problem. And I say, I am totally agree with the fact is that the worst pain is the one that you are feeling right now. Not the one that you felt 10 years ago. The worst pain is the one that you feel right at this moment. And there's no comparison with anybody else's journey. But when we start comparing, that comes from a victim mentality. When we feel that somebody needs to come and fix it for us and solve it for us, and it's not fair, and I went through a lot and I want somebody else to fix it, that's when we're in that comparison. There is no comparison. My pain, the one that I'm feeling right at this moment, is the worst pain. There is no, your pain is not bigger than my pain right now, period. And there is no comparison. And at the same time, I have within me what it takes for me to overcome, and I don't need it to compare. And I can have at the same time compassion for you for your pain. And there is no really measurement that is a realistic measurement, because it's not a competition between whatever worst thing happened. Because each one of us, we are unique individuals with different tools. So somebody can go through a divorce and really do well, and somebody can go through a divorce and be devastated. Somebody can lose a parent and not manage to get out of the house ever again. And other people are going to go and do beautiful things in their names and live productive lives, right? Yeah. So there's absolutely no comparison of the thing. It's our tools.
I completely agree. Yeah, this and that's another shift of perspective, right? That we can always invite ourselves into, of even the grieving process of the self. I think the grieving process of the self and taking the time really eliminates that comparison. So okay. Yes, yes, yes. So we are ready for our activation. I'm excited for today's. I think it's going to be really fun. It feels a little bit like a journey. So I always say to the audience to follow along unless you're driving, and then, you know, make sure you keep your eyes open and come back to this episode and listen again when you're in a better space. And, you know, there's never anything that you have to feel during these activations. Know that the amount that you feel is really dependent on the openness of your nervous system and how available you are to the subtle energies. Regardless of what you feel, know that it is working, it is happening. Just be really present with yourself and willing to receive, and it will be very powerful for you. So let's just go ahead and close our eyes, and we're going to take three nice deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, just cleansing our bodies, cleansing this space, releasing through our breath any energies that are willing and ready to go. Yes, yes, yes. And dropping our awareness down into our pelvis, dropping our awareness down into our pelvis and all the way down to our yoni, all the way down to the labia lips, my love, and taking a breath there, taking a breath with your womanness, taking a breath there with your labia lips. And again, breathing in through the nose and exhaling, you're releasing, just allowing the breath to carry out any energies that are ready to let go. Beautiful, beautiful. And I want you to place your hands on your body wherever you feel comfortable, whatever feels right now. Just place, if you can, place both hands on your body. And we're just really feeling this vessel here right now. And I want you to imagine your body being this vessel, this body carrying you through this life, much like the ceramic mug, carrying you just like the ceramic mug carries water. And I want you to think and just allow in this space right now any memory of a particular challenge, particular trauma, particular moment of transformation and pivotal point in your life that you have gone through. So just bring that into your awareness. Feel your body. Okay, beautiful. Now we're going to start to breathe in, breathing with our awareness on our body, breathing with our awareness at this point in our life. And as we're breathing in, we're calling in golden light, like the golden mending energy of the Kintsugi. We are calling that into our bodies. With each inhalation, we are calling in and breathing in, receiving the golden mending, the golden healing wisdom of Kintsugi into your body. Exhaling, you are releasing once again. Exhaling, you are releasing and you are allowing for the process of that experience in your life. Exhaling, you are releasing and allowing the further curing of that moment. Any curing, any grieving that was not fully resolved and processed, we call that to the point now. So just breathing in. I'm going to bring in some sound. Just hear the sound. Continue to focus on this aspect, this event, this circumstance that happened in your life. Keep breathing with your awareness on it as you call in and breathe in golden light frequencies. As we're calling in with your next breath, we're calling in the implementation, calling in, breathing that part of yourself into your body, breathing all of those broken pieces, any leftover broken pieces, breathing them into your body, allowing them to be mended by the power of the Kintsugi, allowing them to be mended by the power of your own grieving and allowance, acceptance of your process, my love. Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Taking three, once again, nice deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, as we're just allowing the full implementation of those pieces into your physical, your emotional, and your mental body. Beautiful. Yes, yes, yes. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. By the divine trinity, the perfection of three, it is complete. Aho. You may open your eyes. Yay.
Incredible.
So much fun. Miriam, yes. My love, it was so wonderful having you here today.
Thank you.
I just want to honor you in your teachings and the wisdom you're bringing forth and your wonderful fashion brand. Oh, I forgot. Let's let the listeners know, where can they find you?
Sure. So we are at www.mikahfashion.com. And you can reach me at sales@mikahfashion. Even if you want to talk about coaching or my book or anything else regarding Kintsugi, you can reach me there.
Yes, I invite the listeners to reach out to Miriam. Check out her fashion. Check out her book, check out what she offers, and integrate this beautiful wisdom and such a beautiful art into your life. And as always, I highly recommend that you share this episode. Do you know anybody who has perhaps not gone through the grieving process, perhaps hasn't given themselves a moment to find all of those pieces, to collect them, and go through that healing process with themselves? Share this episode with them so that they can learn the art, so that they can reach out to Miriam, and so that they can transform into the new them, the new better version, stronger, light a blazing version of them. Until next time, we will see you. Much love to all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Women podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.